Morning, FSM. How are we? Good, good. My name's JC. I help lead the Rogers 10th grade boys. Raise your hands up if you're in the building, Rogers 10th grade. Let's go. Some of y'all might know me, yeah. Most of y'all may have seen me, but so officially, me to you, JC, nice to meet you. Now you're wondering, okay, why are you wearing a Michigan Jumpman crew neck? Here's a little backstory. I'm from Toronto, Canada. I'm Toronto born and raised, so things you know about Toronto, the six, Drake, yes, all of that is true, can confirm. Maple syrup, polar bears, igloos, not so much. So if you think about Toronto, think about New York City on a smaller scale. It's a melting pot. It's very diverse. There's a lot of energy. That's where I come from. That's home. That's Toronto. But I go to the U of A now. I'm a grad student. But growing up in Toronto, if college sports aren't a thing, and so geographically, the University of Michigan is the closest Division I school. So naturally, you just latch on to the U of M. Hail to the victors, go blue, all that. Raise your hand up if you're an Ohio State fan. Good, no hands, because I was going to say there are four exits and you can take any one of them. All right, I'm not going to have any of that here. Good. Now, I want to tell you a story that actually deals with the Michigan Wolverines. But before that, I know that y'all have been going through a series called Miracles. And last week, Amy talked about raise a girl, healing a woman. Then the week before, Hunter talked about Jesus. Hunter, what did you talk about? The ocean? Yes. Okay. So today, we're going to be talking about Jesus feeding the 5,000. Now, this one word that is going to be core to what we're going to be talking about today is the word provision. So if you're taking notes, follow with me. Provision, just simply, is the act of supplying a need. It's a verb. It's an action. The act of supplying a need. Now, provision can also be a noun in that, okay, let's say you have a need for food, and then the food gets provided. The food are the provision, because now that's a noun. You've been provided with that thing. But the act of supplying a need, that's central to what we're talking about today. I'm going to tell you a story that has five main points where God provided for me. So up there, I think about a lot of things in sports analogies. God's provision, five. My worries, zero. You're going to hear about a guy named Michigan Mike. It's kind of what I called him, the Greyhound bus, my Norman friends, taking a Tahoe to Tulsa, and then from Tulsa to home. The date's September 2nd, 2017. Michigan's playing Florida. It's the start of Jim Harbaugh's third year at the University of Michigan. And with all the noise that's always around Michigan, whether they're high or whether they're low, because they're sweethearts of the press, naturally there's a bunch of noise, not only because it's Michigan, Florida, two brand name traditionally strong college football programs, but it's also, can Jim Harbaugh win at Michigan? Can he win big games? And this was deemed one of those big games. There's me wearing the exact same sweater, and that's my friend Caleb, and that is the Tahoe that you'll hear more about later. And additionally, it's like the Big Ten versus SEC narrative, right? Like what's the best conference? So all that, there's a bunch of hype going into the game. So Caleb and I meet and we leave Fayetteville. So I've lived in Fayetteville for about a month now. So this is summer 2017. I've just moved down from Toronto. And we're heading down to Dallas, to Cowboys Stadium to watch Michigan versus Florida. And we stop in McAllister, Oklahoma, which is about halfway to Dallas. If you've stopped in McAllister ever or at this Valero, raise your hand. All right, so a decent small amount. This is, if you're on the way to Dallas, you're probably going to stop here. So we stop at this Valero, and what I think is a routine stop to just fill up Caleb's Ford Escape with gas ends up being the turning point of our weekend. And honestly, if this doesn't happen, I don't really have a story to tell you about this. So thank God this happened. So he's filling up the tank. I'm like, all right, like we're halfway to Dallas. It's going to be great. Kickoff's at 1. It's 10 a.m. We're in Oklahoma. This is good. We're going to be on time. Now, Caleb's a mechanical engineering major at KU, and so everything that has to do with motors and gears makes sense to him. So he looks up under the hood, and he's kind of playing around with the engine. He comes back in the car with a frustrated look on his face, and he's like, yo, I don't think we're going to make it. And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, my transmission's out. Now, even if you don't know anything about cars, you know that if your transmission's out, you're not going anywhere. You're for real not going anywhere. And so internally, I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, we were going to Michigan, Florida. Like, I wasn't even thinking about the possibility that we would miss kickoff. I was worried about, is Michigan going to cover the spread? Is Michigan going to have, I wasn't worried about, are we going to get there? And so now I'm like, oh my gosh, like, dude, like, literally, why is your car breaking down right now? But I'm not saying this to him, so I don't want to be a horrible friend. But internally, I'm like, gosh, dude. But externally, I'm like, dude, all right, like, let's figure this out. Let's just, like, work through this. Like, but internally, I'm like, dude, come on. And so we start calling mechanics and dealerships in McAllister only to figure out that all mechanics and dealerships are closed except for one, and the only dealership that's open is the Ford dealership, which happens to be the make of his car. So I'm like, wow, God, like, okay, cool, you're providing, let's go. This is good. So we get there, and they're like, hey, we have to run a diagnostic because he thinks the transmission's off, but that's just the eye test. He's just looking and feeling, and based on the eye test, he thinks it's the transmission. So they're like, hey, it's gonna cost a couple $100s. And, you know, two college dudes, and we're like, we used a couple $100s for our road trip to Dallas. Like, we don't got nothing for transmission issues. And so they're kind of like, okay, like, let's work something out. And essentially what they say is like, you know what? We'll run the diagnostic for free. Another provision, another huge blessing. And they're like, hey, you can keep the car here for the weekend. We won't charge you for it, but you have to figure out how to get to Dallas. I'm like, okay. Okay, so the car is fine. We know that it's wrong. How are we getting to Dallas? Now, at the Valero, there was a guy head to toe in Michigan gear with his son, and I was like, that's really weird. Why is he here in McAllister, Oklahoma, wearing Michigan gear? But then I was like, who am I to talk? I'm wearing the same thing, right? And so it ends up that he's going to the game. Now, when he figures out that we're having this transmission issue, he's like, hey, y'all having some car troubles? We're like, yeah. He's like, hop in my car. Let's go to Dallas. He's like, I'm going to the game too. I'm like, what? You? You're going to the game, and we're going to ride with you. I was like, Olivia, we have not met this dude before. And I look at Caleb, and we're both kind of like, yo, I think we should do this. Like, like, we're trying to go to the game. And we're like, if this dude is sketched, like, guys, you know, you do this. If you, like, go, if you're with a friend, you, like, naturally size up the dude. Like, you're like, yo, we're bigger. Like, if something happens, we got this. Right? And so that's a thing. And also, he's got a kid, and in his car, he's got car seats and toys because his kid's young. So I'm like, okay, if the worst comes to worst, like, we got this, and, like, it's fine. So we go, we take the ride, we hitchhike from McAllister to Dallas, get to the game, and Michigan ends up winning 33-17, but it's about the third quarter, and now Caleb and I are thinking, okay, we got to figure out a way to get to Dallas, to Fayetteville, because we don't have a car, and I'm not about to ask this dude, hey, can you drive us back to Fayetteville? Maybe, because he's from St. Louis. So that's like, it's weird, and like, we're not going to do that to him. How many of y'all have heard of Uber? I hope everyone, please. There's some laughs in the front, like, you're asking us about Uber. I run Uber. Okay. So we're looking at that, and that's not really an option, because even an Uber from the U of A to like the other side of Fayetteville would be like $30, $40. And so imagine an Uber from Dallas to Fayetteville. That's like a third of my tuition, so I'm not doing that. Right? So we're not doing that. And so naturally, as college students, we begin to think, and our next option is, okay, Greyhound buses. Raise your hand if you heard of Greyhound buses. Okay, good, good. So if you thought I was talking about the dog, no, okay? Not talking about the dog. Talking about these charter buses, kind of like public transit, but they're mostly based in big cities. So you'll rarely see a Greyhound in Northwest Arkansas. So cities like Dallas, Chicago, New York, Toronto will have Greyhound terminals. So we search, and we're like, okay, like, there's no Greyhounds from Dallas to Fayetteville, but there's a Greyhound from Dallas to Norman. We have friends that go to OU. So we're like, all right, let's cop that ticket. Let's get on that Greyhound bus. We're heading to Norman. And then we'll figure out how to get to Norman to Fayetteville, because all we need is a place to stay at this point. We're desperate. Right? So we get that figured out. And this is the Greyhound terminal in Dallas. It looks exactly like this. It says Dallas, Texas, but it felt like Detroit, Michigan. There were homeless dudes sitting out there, and it was definitely not, I'm like, oh, we're in Dallas? Like, we've left Dallas for sure, like when I was there. So we're there, and we take the bus. It's $40 one way, which is extremely, well, not extremely, but affordable compared to whatever, a $500 Uber or whatever we were thinking of. So we catch the Greyhound, get to Norman, Saturday night, we're good. God's provided, and we're like literally blown away. We're like, we hitchhiked from McAllister this morning, and we're sleeping in Norman. Just got off a Greyhound. Like, what? Crazy. Sunday morning, we go to church with our friends from OU, and then we're eating lunch at Torchy's, which, by the way, Fayetteville's getting a Torchy's, so shout out Torchy's. About to eat good. We're going to eat good in Fayetteville. Okay. Tacos for life, we're coming. I know it's Northwest Arkansas. No, I'm not even going to go there. Y'all are going to come at me. Okay. So we're there, and we're at Torchy's, and there's a big group, kind of like, imagine y'all after church. I bet all of y'all, like, sometimes we'll go and eat lunch as a group. So we're eating, and there's this guy in the group, and he hears about our story, how we're carless and essentially stranded in Norman. He kind of peers over down the table, and he's like, hey, are you the two guys that, like, are having car issues? We're like, yeah, like, what's up? And he's like, y'all can take my Tahoe to Fayetteville. What? Your Tahoe. I'm like, I've literally just met you. And then I look at my friends, I'm like, is your friend serious? And they look at me, and they're like, yo, we just met him, dude. So no one at the table knew him. He just came because he was at church with us and just like got in someone's car. So no one at the table knows him, and he's offering his Tahoe. And I'm like, okay, what is going on? And so my friend Caleb and I look at him and we're like, do you know that we mean Fayetteville, Arkansas? Like Fayetteville, not, I don't know, maybe Fayetteville might be a street in Norman. And he's like, oh yeah, they're just taking it 5 minutes down there. I'm like, yo, no, we need this to go like hours away. He's like unflinchingly, like as if to look at us like, I heard you. He's like, yes, like you need this more than I do, take it. And I'm like, how are we gonna get it back to you? He's like, I'll figure that out. That's the least of my worries. This dude for real, MVP. His name's Will Bost. If you want to follow him on Instagram, just throw him a follow and say, yo, I heard your story, like you are the GOAT, the OG. At Will Bost on Instagram, Norman, Oklahoma. All right. So you take Will's Tahoe, we get to Tulsa, and then from Tulsa, we leave his car there because someone's going to take his car and bring it back to Norman. And in Tulsa, it ends up that Caleb and I's friends are driving through Tulsa, and they literally just scoop us, and we get to Fayetteville safe and sound. We were not late for a single thing that weekend. So I was just floored by the Lord's provision because like the whole time I was always like, well, like I don't know how we're getting places, but God's like, don't worry, you're not going to know, but you're going to be on time and safe and like arrive on time. So that brings me to this question. Have you ever been in a desperate situation? Whether it was something like that, or it could be school related or sports related, like you're down 10 with 2 minutes left, you need to win this game to go to state. Desperate situation, right? So raise your hand if you've been in a desperate situation. Okay, so we can identify with this. Good. We can identify with this. Today's big idea, if you're taking notes, simple. God provides. God provides. At the beginning, I defined provision as the act of supplying a need. So if you want to read this statement a different way, essentially all I'm saying is God can supply your needs. You can write that down however you want, whatever makes sense to you. If you're in your Bible still in Matthew 14, stay there and follow me from verses 13 to 21. If you're not there, go ahead and get there, or look over, or just listen. Now when Jesus heard this, this is Jesus feeding 5,000, by the way, if we forget. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Something important about this passage is right before this, King Herod, who is the ruler of the area at that time, strongly opposed to Jesus and the work that his disciples do, throws a lavish feast, like throws a huge party the night before, and his daughter asks him, hey, I just want one thing. It's the head of John the Baptist. Like, wow, aggressive request. Like, I thought you were going to ask for like a material item. No, I want John the Baptist's head. And so in a gloom ending to the night, John the Baptist gets beheaded and his head is given on a platter and shown to King Herod's daughter and said, all right, this is what you asked for. Here it is. And so right before this, this is what is happening to Jesus. So you can kind of understand, can't blame the guy for wanting to withdraw and be by himself. I think if one of my best friends was killed, I probably wouldn't want to be around people, right? And so if you're like, if you take that in mind as you read this, you're like, okay, things are kind of like somber and settled. So that's kind of the mood into this. But people are following Jesus just because of who he is, and they want to know what he's doing, what he's up to. It's like when a celebrity's in town, you like see it on their snaps, they're like, oh my gosh, like they're just there, we need to go there. That's kind of the way it is with Jesus. People are tracing him, following where he is. And it says that when he gets to the shore, he has great compassion on the people. Like, compassion, are you kidding? His best friend just died, and you're asking him to show compassion. Like, if my best friend just died and a bunch of people were, like, in my space, I wouldn't show compassion. What does he show? Compassion. And it says he heals their sick. It's just a very unnatural response. So that brings me to my first point. God has compassion for us, even when it's difficult. Verse 15 to 17. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves. But Jesus said, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. They said to him, we have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. Jesus intentionally asks them to provide something he knows they don't have. Now, if that's ever happened to you when someone challenges you and is like, hey, or like for me, I think about a lot of things in sports analogies. And when I was growing up, my friends knew that I could not dribble left. So they would check the ball up to me and angle themselves left and force me left. And they knew that frustrated me. So imagine someone asking you on purpose, hey, do this thing that I know you can't do. It's kind of like I'm over you, I'm better than you, right? And so Jesus is not coming that aggressively to his disciples, but he is asking them to do something that he knows they can't do. And so if you're his disciples, you're like, you're asking us to feed about 10,000 people, and you know we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Why are you asking us to do that? So why does Jesus do that? We'll find out in the next segment, but a second point today is God intentionally, so on purpose, he will point you to your inability. He will bring you to points of weakness. And there's a purpose. So God does this on purpose. He'll intentionally point out your inabilities. Not in an attacking way, but kind of like, hey, there's a blind spot in your life. Take a look at that. And you'll be like, I don't like talking about that. You're like, exactly. Okay? And he said, bring them here to me. Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. Third point, God uses our inability to display his ability. So God will first intentionally show us, okay, here's where you have inability. Here's where you're weak. Why does he show you your weakness? Not to be like, huh, you're weak, I'm gonna leave you there. Here's your weakness, why? Because this is where God's strength comes in, okay? So there's a purpose in him showing your weakness. Where people will normally show you your weakness to put you down, when God shows you weakness, it's like, hey, I wanna turn this into a strength. And you're not just gonna do it by yourself, I'm gonna do it with you. And if y'all play sports, like for y'all that are on sports teams, when you watch film, and sometimes it's tough, right? Because it feels like coach is just coming down, you're like, man, I can't do anything right. But then when you do it right and run that set the next game or run that play and you do it right, like, okay, coach is showing me that because that weakness is now my strength. And you know that feeling when it's like, wow, like I remember failing that play so many times and now it's become a strength. So it's a similar idea. Our big idea today, God provides. God supplies needs. I'm gonna share with y'all a personal story about how God provided in a big way in my life. Because if I'm just throwing you a text and saying, hey, God did this. Well, JC, like, what did that look like in your life? Right? Because then if it's not, it's like, okay, well, this is just words on a page. So about 4 years ago, I knew that I wanted to go to graduate school after I finished my bachelor's. So I did my bachelor's just near Toronto in Canada, but I go to the U of A now. I'm getting my master's. And I knew that, I met people from Arkansas, and then over time, my community expanded here, and then I, like, visit here, and I was like, man, like, this seems like a place that I could live for a part of my life. And I kept praying. I was like, Lord, if I'm not supposed to be in Arkansas, shut the door. I don't want to flirt with this idea because it's such like a mentally draining thing when you invest in something that you can't see. Like some of y'all are thinking about college soon and you're like, I'm like applying to this campus. I've never visited people I don't know. Like, is this real? So that's how I felt. I was like, God, if this Arkansas thing's real, like keep it going. If not, shut it. And I want to move on. But I was committed to pursuing this dream until I fell flat in my face. Because you know those things when you go to bed at night and you're like, man, like I really want that. But you're like, man, that's a lot of work. I was like, I'm going to put in the work, and if I don't get it, I don't get it, but I know that I put in the work. But I wasn't going to just throw in the towel and not put in the work, okay? And so that was the Red Sea in my life. I was like, Lord, like I want to go to Arkansas, but like I don't know how it can happen. Because as a Canadian, I'd have to pay out-of-state tuition and international tuition, meaning 2 years at the U of A would be $120,000. That's like a cheap house in, not a cheap house, but like a house, maybe a smaller house in like Fayetteville or Spring, $120,000. And like, when I looked at that, I was like, I mean, the dream's nice, but like, there's no way mom and dad can provide that for me, and there's no way I can like provide that for myself. So I was like, literally, Lord, like, why do you keep telling me this is something I'm gonna pursue? Like, I don't have this money. I can't do it. But he's like, no, you know my voice. You know I've called you to this. Keep pursuing it, trust me. And so eventually it came to a point where I was like, all right, well, like I applied and like, here it is. Like, I don't know what's gonna happen. The Lord's like, trust me, just trust me. So he brings me to my Red Sea moment and he's like, put your staff down, which is like, hey, trust me, leave all your doubts on the ground, just place it. He's like, watch me split this. And then the U of A offers me a full ride. And I'm drop dead, just like, silenced. Everyone that was like, oh, that's a really cute dream. Like, oh, sweet dream. Like, oh, what a sweet boy. Like, so naive. Like, doesn't know that, like, financial aid won't cover that. Just, oh yeah, keep dreaming. Like, it's awesome. Like, my friend's like, oh, yeah, Arkansas? Yeah, huh? Yeah, 1,100 miles away from Toronto. Like, have fun paying out-of-state international tuition. Got the full ride, and I was just like, never in my wildest dreams did I think that that would ever be a case, ever. I never thought, if you told me, you're like, hey, you're going to pay more for college in Canada than you will here, I would have been like, no. But God provides. God provides. And even in all my doubts, like, I'm not going to stand here and tell you that that whole process, I was like, oh, yeah, like, always like, oh, yeah, God's going to provide, like, always confident in his promises. No, like, for the most part, I was doubting and always like, if I don't get this, I deserve it because I've been doubting so much. Like, I'll get what I deserve if I don't get it. And still in my doubts and in my weakness, like I mentioned before, God displayed his strength and his faithfulness. So my question to you today is, wherever you're at, whatever the 5 loaves and 2 fish are in your lives, whether that's, I don't know, broken friendships in your lives, relationships that need mending, you feeling lonely, for you seniors, like waiting on those acceptances and admissions to college, knowing where you're gonna go, my challenge to you is to lay that at the Lord's feet and say, all right, this is all I got. Like, I know it's not much. You turned it into something big, just like he did with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. It could be you feeling undervalued, depressed, not cool enough, not attractive enough. Whatever the 5 loaves are, lay it and be like, Jesus, you do more with this than I can because I can't fake this. And it's funny because this week I was feeling inadequate. Like, I literally texted Thomas on Wednesday and was like, I shouldn't be doing this. Like, I'm still trying to figure things out. Like, in my life, I'm not perfect. Why am I going to speak to FSM? And it's just so funny that as I'm reading a passage on inadequacy and God's adequacy, that God's teaching me that. And Thomas is like, hey, always remember, it's better to share from experience than to fake it and act like you have it all together. Yo, because everyone in this room, we know, like, we all got stuff that we're going through. You don't have to walk in and pretend like you're carrying the weight of the world. You got everything figured out. Because everyone in here is fighting a battle that you don't know, right? So there's power in that. So God called me out. He set the stage, and he's like, watch me deliver you. Watch me deliver you. Yeah? Expensive school? Okay. Your friends talking trash about your dream? Okay. You doubting? Okay. Watch me come through. I'm going to come through. Okay, so for you, it might be, you don't know how serious my anxiety is. You don't know the depression that I've gone through. You don't know the yelling matches mom and dad have at home. You don't know that, JC. It's not like that. But what Jesus says to you today is the same thing that I read in the text of Black and White. And I'm not standing here offering you a cheap cliche. I'm telling you that this God I read about in Black and White came through for me in living color. Right? And he wants to do the same for you if you'll allow him. And so today my call to you is, if Jesus says, trade your inability, your insecurities, your relationships that you're like, man, I wish things were the same with this person. I don't talk to them. Or I'm worried about what college I'm going to go to. I feel like mom and dad's separation is my fault. Wherever you feel like you're coming short, say, Jesus, I know you're going to cover it. I'm going to watch you cover it. Just let me trust you. Trade your inability for God's ability. All right? So application, 2 things, simple. In what area of your life does God need to provide? It's a question you need to ask yourself. And recognize that it could be material or immaterial. Some of y'all might be, well, like, I'm doing fine. Like, I have the clothes I want, the kicks I want, like, the jeans, which is cool. But recognize that provision can also be immaterial, right? You could be like, well, like, I have all the things I physically need, but deep down, I know I'm lonely, I'm empty. No matter how many friends I'm seen walking around the hallways with, I know that, like, those friendships are superficial. I know that those people that dap me up at school are the same people that talk behind my back once I turn around, right? I know that no matter how many times I post on Insta, I can't wait for the next post because I'm waiting to fill my heart up again, right? I just want to see the notifications. But wherever you feel like you're short, feel like, God, like, fill that, okay? And the last point, take your need to God before you go to someone else. My friend Caleb that I introduced to you at the beginning, he's like, JC, like, you're a verbal processor. You like thinking out loud. But he's like, I'm going to challenge you. Before you go to your friends and talk to them, take your need to God first. So the way you can think about this is, whenever you're going through something, you have a need, have the instinct to go vertical before you go horizontal. Like, go vertical, then you go horizontal. right? Let's close my eyes, close our eyes, and we'll pray. Lord, I thank you for everyone in here. All the individual stories and circumstances that are represented. I mean, they realize that you care about each and every small detail in their lives, and you know what they're going through. I thank you that your word is living and active, that it's not just dead words on a page, but it's alive, it's working, and you call us to trust you deeper. I pray that we would claim those promises. I pray that we'd be honest with you, with ourselves, and have the courage to trust you to take us to places where we want to go but are scared to because we feel like you won't provide. God, would you shock us, drop our jaws, and leave us in awe because you're able to do more than we can ask or imagine. In your name, amen.